We're in this series, Game of Thrones. We've been following the life of Jesus, his final days, as we're going toward the cross. Remember at Christmas, we talked about that Jesus, the King of Kings, gave up his throne in heaven. And he willingly came here to die on the cross, die for you and me. And it's in Jesus that we find grace. You know, what's grace? Grace is that unmerited favor of God. It's undeserved love in action in our lives. And it's in Jesus Christ that we find grace. You know, John the disciple, he's kind of reflecting about this and reflecting about Jesus. He says, out of his fullness, we have all received grace on top of grace. For God so loved the world that he sent his son, it's grace. Because of the grace of God, Jesus came to this world. That's why he died on the cross. You know, because of God's grace in Jesus Christ, salvation is possible. A relationship with God is possible. Because of God's grace, Christians, we now live in grace. Because of God's grace and what Jesus Christ did on the cross, we can also experience grace every single day in our lives. And we experience God's grace by his love in our life, his power, his provision, his guidance, his mercy, his forgiveness. In Jesus Christ, we have grace on top of grace. And that is a lot to comprehend. I mean, that whole term, grace on top of grace, it's an interesting phrase. It's a commercial phrase. Had to do with commerce in that day. John highlights the fact that God's grace is not obtained by the normal means of commerce. That's what he's talking about here when he says grace on top of grace. In other words, it's not the normal exchange that you expect, you know, where you exchange one thing for another. We provide labor at our jobs in exchange for a paycheck. You know, we provide cash in exchange for food or a car or our home. And when we spend our cash, that cash is gone, right? But the grace of God is different, and that's what John's pushing at here. The more we live by grace and in grace, the more grace we have by which to live. In other words, it never runs out. We live in a perpetual state as Christians. We live in that state of grace, and we receive more grace, grace on top of grace. So as we're living in it, we can also experience it daily. And I don't know about you, but I need God's grace. I need a lot of grace. And this is a throne issue. When you know God, when you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, when you are very clear about who sits on the throne in your life, when you know God's amazing grace and you've experienced that, when you know all that, it changes everything. It changes absolutely everything, and it changes how you live. See, thrones and grace are tied together. That's why the Hebrew writer writes this. He says, "Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive what? And find to help us in our time of need." We are not in a position to ask God or to receive God's grace if he's not on the throne in our lives. We may be saved, but that daily occurrence of grace, we have to get the throne issue corrected. God wants to be Lord in your life and mine. And because of the grace of God, because of Jesus Christ, that relationship's possible. The one on the throne, though, is the one that offers grace. And here's a question for the day. Who's on the throne in your life? You've heard me say often, if he is not Lord of all, he's not Lord at all. And because of grace, we can approach God's throne of grace. With confidence, we can go there and expect to receive mercy and to find help. And so I want you to think a little bit. When life is spinning out on you, where do you turn? And who do you trust? When life doesn't go the way that you planned, when you can't see a way out, when you can't see a way through, throne issues are really important. You know, last week we left our story off. Jesus was being taken away to be crucified. He's going to be nailed to a cross. He had been before Pilate. The scripture says that above his head they put the written notice of the accusation against him. This is Jesus, the King of the Jews. It was very common in that day for a crime that was committed and they were going to crucify that individual. They would put what crime they had committed. They'd post it above their head. They had to carry that sign through the street prior to that. And so everybody knew why they were being executed. And I've often wondered whether Pilate, by saying this is Jesus, the King of the Jews, if Pilate was making fun of Jesus, or this is what I tend to think, I think he was taking a shot at the Jewish people that had brought Jesus to be convicted. But the bottom line is, people were laughing at Jesus, making fun of Jesus as he hung on the cross. And I wonder if they had only known that the truth, this is Jesus the King, if they would have known that what was written on that sign was true. We know Jesus was crucified between two criminals. And as he's dying, if you read the various accounts in the Gospels, you find people are mocking him. They're hurling insults at him. One of the scriptures says, he saves others, but he can't save himself. Isn't he the King of Israel? If he will come down off the cross now, we will believe in him. He trusts in God and claims to be the Son of God, or God's Son. Well, then, let us see if God wants to save him now. You trust God, but where's your God now? See, I believe if we had been at the cross that day, and we would have been looking at Jesus dying, we might not have said that, but I think many of us would have thought it. See, we know from Scripture that Jesus was beaten. I mean, he was beaten. His flesh was laid open. It was the type of flogging that the Romans dished out that many times it exposed the internal organs. This beating was severe. I'm going to guess if we had been there and seen Jesus, it would have been very disturbing to us. They put that crown of thorns on his head. Again, they were trying to mock him. They spit on him. They stripped him naked. They're humiliating him. And so Jesus is hanging on the cross. And people are saying, you still believe in God? Where is he now? I mean, we ask that, don't we? Where's God? We lose our job. We experience a breakup. You know, we're betrayed by someone. We're a victim of some injustice in our life. The fact is, it doesn't take much for us to feel like we've been abandoned by God. True? Can you imagine what Jesus must have felt? Do you still trust God? In the Greek, the word trust is pithos. It's to have full confidence in, to have complete trust. And I was thinking about that. It's easy for us to trust God when things are going well, true? But let things get difficult, when things go south, one of the most fundamental questions you will ever answer in your life, do you really trust God? It is a throne issue. Do you really trust God? Since the beginning of creation, Satan has tried to undermine the character of God, the authority of God, and the trustworthiness of God. When you read the account in Genesis, Satan appears as a serpent. It's in the garden. He says, did God really say that you're not to eat fruit from that tree? God knows that if you eat from that tree, you'll be like God. You shouldn't trust God. That's what he was pushing at. And Adam and Eve apparently didn't trust God because they ate the fruit. And we've been dealing with the consequences ever since in our lives. It's why Jesus left his throne in heaven. It's why he came to die on the cross, was to correct all that. You know, he came here to die on the cross for that. So he could reverse things. So he could reverse the consequences of Adam and Eve's actions. So he could reverse the consequences of sin. He could destroy the power of sin. Again, I think it's easy to trust God when things are going well. It is easy to trust God when it doesn't require sacrifice or it doesn't challenge what I want in life. But I want to ask this again. Do you trust God? Do you trust God totally? Do you trust God completely? It's a throne issue. And I think this is where things get kind of dark. Because we play a little game. We get real selective, don't we? Well, I trust God. But this is different. Jesus is dying on the cross. Scripture says at noon, the whole country was covered with darkness, which lasted for 3 hours. Jesus had been fully obedient. He'd lived a perfect life, a sinless life, which is more than any of us can say, right? But at noon, the land goes dark. It's almost like God was saying, the sun will not shine on this event today. Scripture says about 3 o'clock, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, Eli, Eli, lam sabachthani, which means, my God, why did you abandon me? Why have you forsaken me? Jesus had been obedient. You know, not my will, but your will, Father. He had endured a trial that was unjust, and he was convicted. He'd been physically beaten, verbally abused. But never once, when you read the account, do you find Jesus in the midst of all that pain and all that punishment and all that abuse. You never find Jesus complaining. Then God withdraws his presence, the land goes dark, and Jesus cries out and says, my God, why have you abandoned me? Why have you forsaken me? Jesus cries out in agony at that point. I can't take it. I don't understand this. Why? Why, God? Throughout the Gospels, when you find Jesus talking with God, calls him Father, Abba, Daddy. But at this moment, I believe the darkest moment in history, he says, my God, why? This might be the saddest verse in the Bible. It definitely is one of the most confusing scriptures. Theologians have struggled with this for ages, centuries. How can God abandon or forsake God. But it happened. But it's a challenging question. I have, throughout the years, tried to understand. I do not understand it totally. I mean, surely Jesus understood what was happening in that moment. Surely Jesus understood that that moment was coming. I mean, didn't he? I don't know. We're going to talk about it some more in a little bit. But it's a question that I think we all wrestle with. When things go dark in your life, you say, why, God? There are things that I have been through in my life I didn't understand at the time. And it wasn't until I got further down the road that it made sense. And there are things that I've been through that I still do not understand. And I probably will not understand this side of eternity. I keep a list of questions when I get to heaven. We're going to talk about them. I figure when I get to heaven, it's either I'm going to look and it's all going to make sense or it won't matter. But when you're going through whatever it is that you're going through, it is a throne issue. Are you going to trust God? I mean, are you? And the reality is we are not always going to understand things. We cannot see things from God's perspective. It's just impossible. The Apostle Paul, that's what he was alluding to. He's comparing now to eternity, and he writes, he says, what we see now is like a dim image in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. What I know now is only partial. Then it will be complete as God's knowledge of me. I can't understand it right now. I only see part of it right now. If I ask you to look at these letters up here, most of you would say, it says, nowhere. When you're going through tough times in your life, when things get dark, when it goes south on you, most people say, God is nowhere to be found. And it's a throne issue. It's a throne issue that you got to wrestle with. When God's on the throne, when you trust him, is it a question? See, I believe when God's on the throne, you do trust him, period. You see things differently, and so you go, no. He's now here. Even though I don't understand things, he is now here. He's in the midst of it. Grace of God. Grace on top of grace. Remember several years ago, a guy I played hoops with, he had a child that was going through some very, very difficult surgeries. They were trying to correct some bone issues. And so he talked about how painful these procedures were. And his son, when they would head to the doctor after the surgeries, his son would just start crying. And all the way there, it would be like, why, Mommy? You know, why, Daddy? Please, please don't let them do this to me. And he talked about trying to explain to his son why they were doing this. But he was just too young. He couldn't understand it. And friends, I think that's how it is with many of us. When we're going through the pain, we lack the capacity. We're not capable of understanding God's divine purpose in the midst of that. Isaiah writes, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Don't answer this out loud, but I want to ask you, do you think you're smarter than God? Do you think you know more than God? I think most of us would go, well, no. At least we're not going to admit it in public. But friends, why don't you trust God with everything? It is a throne issue in life. How do you get to a place that you shift from God is nowhere to be found to a place where you can say with confidence, God is now here? Because that's life-changing, but it's a throne issue. You know, life takes a turn. Things change. Things get rough in life. But our God never changes. And let's be honest today. For some of you, your life's not in crisis. Life's very, very good right now. You feel very blessed. And I say praise God for that. You know, some of you feel loved by God. You're trusting God right now. And that's a good thing. But the winds change directions. Storms come. And they hit. And it's called life. And many times in the chaos and the hurt and the confusion, it can become so great in your life that trust becomes an issue, a throne issue. Do you trust God? When you trust God, when that becomes an issue of whether or not you're going to trust God, I think there's some things you got to remember. You got to remember God is good. God is good. The psalmist says, praise the Lord, for the Lord is good. Sing to his name, for he is gracious. God is always good. And here's why this is important, that you embed that in your mind, in your heart. Because what we tend to do is we tend to project our present situation, whatever it is that we're going through, we tend to project it on God. So when we're hurting, when we're confused, when we don't understand, we're going, God, why? I don't get it. Where are you, God? Why don't you care what's happening in my life? When things are bad, what happens is we shift our view of God. Well, maybe God isn't good after all. Because he's allowing this in my life, maybe God can't be trusted. And friends, I want to tell you, God can be trusted. Our God transcends whatever situation we're going through in our life. In the midst of cancer, God's good. In the midst of war and genocide and injustice, God is good. In the midst of loss and death, God is good, God is good, God is good. God never changes. And friends, you got to cling to that. And you got to understand that. By God's grace, you hold on to God and experience grace. God is good, God is good. Catholics, help me. God is good all the time. God is good. Here's the next thing you got to remember. God is for me. Do you believe that? Again, it's a throne issue. God is for me. He's for you in your life. Paul writes this in view of all of this. What can we say? If God is for us, who can be against us? And he's going to tell you in the verses following that, nothing can stand against God. The one who created the heavens and the earth, the one that created you and me, the one that holds the stars and the planets in place, you know, the one who speaks and the storms go still, the one that speaks and they walk out of the grave. Scripture says that God is for you. What situation does God not reign in? Think about that. What situation does God not reign in? God and all of his power is for you. God wants the best for you. God has a dream and a purpose for your life that's beyond the confusion of this world. And you either believe that or you don't. But God's for you, and God is always with you. God is with you in the good times and God is with you in the bad times. Hebrew writer says, keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have. Because he said, here we go, I will never leave you. I will always be by your side. In the tough times in life, I need to remember that. No matter how alone you feel, no matter how betrayed you may have been, no matter how dark things get in your life and confusing, God will never leave you. God will never leave you. Why did God turn away from Jesus? I mean, he turned away from his son that's dying on the cross. And he did that so he would never have to turn away from anybody again. I mean, God turned because Jesus took on sin. He took on all the sins of the world, past, present, future, all of them. Jesus became sin, Scripture said. And a holy God could not look upon that kind of sin. In a moment of grace, it's amazing grace. It was saving grace. God turned so he would never have to turn again. See, God is always good. God is always for you. And God is always with you because of Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross. Because Jesus died for you and died for your sins. You can live with grace. See, grace on top of grace. We live there. So even when we don't understand why we're going through what we're going through, even when life is confusing, are you going to trust God? Throne issue. Proverbs says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, all your ways, all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make straight your path. We are not always going to understand everything. You may think you understand it. You know, when you're hurting, when you're losing, when you're in the middle of that storm, you may think you got it all figured out. God, this is what I need, and this is what I need to happen, and I need it to happen now. It's a Game of Thrones. Who's on the throne? You or God? Are you going to trust your understanding? Or are you going to trust the one that created everything? You know, that word acknowledgement in the scriptures there, in the Hebrew, it's yada. It literally means to know. In all your ways, know God. In all your situations, know God. When you do not understand it, know God and trust God. Know that God is good. Know that God is for you. Know that God is with you. Trust God with all your heart, and he'll make the path straight in your life. He'll get you through what you need to go through. And here's what I've found out in my life. The better I know God, the less I ask why. The better I know God, the more I ask what. Instead of asking God, why is this happening? This isn't fair. Why aren't you doing what I want you to do? Why have you abandoned me and left me here? See, the better I know God, the more I ask what. What are you doing, God? What do you want me to see? You know, what do you want me to learn from this, God? What is your purpose? What is your plan? It's a throne issue. Do you trust God? Do you? You know, when many people say, God is nowhere to be found, I just want to scream and go, quit. God is now here. You got the best opportunity of your life to know God. When you know God, and you know he's on the throne, and when you fully believe that, and you trust him, I mean, friends, you just got to get to a place where that happens. Jesus Christ died for you. He turned his back on his son so he would never have to turn his back on you and me. That's the kind of God we serve. God did that for you. Paul writes, he says, Christ never sinned, but God treated him as a sinner so that Christ could make us what? Acceptable. Acceptable to God. On the cross, Jesus Christ became sin for us. Jesus became sin. I want you to think about that. He became sin. He became murder and adultery and lust and cheating and racism and pornography and hatred. Jesus became sin. He became all sin, past, present, future. He became it all. He became all that sin to save us, to make us acceptable unto God so that we could have a relationship with Jesus Christ. It's why he left the throne to start with, to do that. Scripture says when he'd received the drink, Jesus said, "It is finished. It's finished." He'd accomplished what he had come for, to save the world, to make a relationship with God possible. And it says, with that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. Everybody that was gathered around that cross that day, they did not get it. They could not see what was happening. They couldn't see that history was being changed, that sin was being defeated, but it had grace written all over it. I'm going to ask this one more time. Whatever you're going through today, do you trust God? Do you really trust God? Because it's a game of thrones. And friends, I can't think of anyone or anything that's more reliable and trustworthy than the God that loves us, that sent Jesus Christ to die for us, a God that notices all the little things that happen in our life. But it's a throne issue. Are you going to trust him? Are you going to trust him? Let's bow in a word of prayer together. Our holy God, God, we praise you. And God, I pray that we would always trust you. Whether life is going great or we're getting knocked silly, whether we are rejoicing or we are broken, God, that we would always remember that you are trustworthy, and that we'd cling to you, that we'd hold tight to you. God, you see the big picture. We don't. God, I pray that we would just humble ourselves before your throne. God, I thank you that we can come before your throne of grace, that we can bow down, that we can pour our hearts out, that we can share how we feel. But God, I pray when we hit our knees that in that act, we would say, we trust you. Whatever comes, that we just hold tight. God, I know there are some here today that life is tough right now. God, I pray your Holy Spirit would keep whispering, that they would keep holding tight to you, that they would trust that you will see them through. God, it doesn't always turn out the way we planned, but you'll always use it for a purpose. God, help us to keep you on the throne. Help us to always worship you in the good and in the bad. God, we just give you the praise. We give you the glory this day. God's people said. Let's stand. We're going to sing together and worship as we prepare for communion this morning.